You're not alone.
Hello there, and welcome to another episode of the Salt Mines X-Wing Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the backbone of the X-Wing community. That's right, players like you who are doing what they can to get better at the game. I'm your host, Sailor Joe V, and today we're going to talk about the Fury of the First Order. And I don't mean the Squadron Pack, but we'll get into that. Before I do, let me just invite you to join me in our Patreon giveaway. That's right. We are now starting our monthly giveaway. Every month I will be giving away an X-Wing ship and based on the number of patrons that I have. In addition to that, I finally have the crit token designed, and that will be going out to patrons. I will be creating a third patron tier. The top tier will receive 2 of the tokens, the middle tier will receive 1 of the token, and the bottom tier will just be supporting, but will receive an entry into the monthly giveaway. With all that said, let's go ahead and get started in today's episode. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. Usually following a big event, and for those that didn't know, the Gold Squadron Galactic Qualifier Jetta event happened this week, and usually I would either bat rep how I did, or I'd break down all the 3-3 lists so you can see kind of what people are flying mid-range, because we know the big podcasts cover the top 16 and the top 32. So for that, what I wanted to do was actually look at the faction with the highest cut rate. And I know I'm a little biased on this because I am a First Order player, but out of the 18 First Order lists, 9 made the cut, which is a pretty impressive cut rate. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to look at the pilots, what they brought, and see if we can pull any information or data or just make any conclusions from what lists were flown and the overall result in the match. So starting out, we had Evan, and I'm going to butcher this name, I apologize, Krudinzer, who rounded out the bottom of the faction. He was flying Agent Terex with Biohex Crypt Codes, Deadman Switch, Contraband Cybernetics, False Transponder Codes. Also flying beside Agent Terex was Major Von Reg with Daredevil and Prockets, Lieutenant LaHuse with Deuterium Power Cells and Special Forces Gunner, and TN3465, affectionately known as Tina. Next was Jay Osler flying Foe Aces, which is Kylo Ren with Extreme Maneuvers, Major Von Reg with Daredevil, and Recoil with Predator. Now, we've seen this list do well. So there's a lot of things that come into it, but I think as we go through this, you'll see towards the end, there's a very specific way that you have to fly Foe Aces. But that's spoilers, so we'll get to that in a minute. So next is Andrew Buff, who flew Hollow with Proud Tradition and Pattern Analyzer, Muse with Proud Tradition and Pattern Analyzer, Lieutenant Revis, and 3 Epsilon Squadron cadets in the TIE Foe. Next was Benjamin Plaza, who flew Kylo Ren with Extreme Maneuvers, Major Von Reg with Daredevil, and Quick Draw with Special Forces Gunner. Next, Brendan McKenna, flew Kylo Ren with Extreme Maneuvers, Prime Thrusters, and Advanced Proton Torpedoes, with Lieutenant LaHuse with Fanatical and Special Forces Gunner, and Major Von Reg with Daredevil. Dalen Morgan flew Rush with a First Order Test Pilot, and Kylo Ren with Extreme Maneuvers, so triple silencers there. Next we have Cameron Wassum, who flew Hollow with Proud Tradition and Pattern Analyzer, Recoil with Predator and Prockets, First Order Courier with Automated Targeting Priority and Agent Terex, and Muse. So for those that don't know, the First Order Courier is the Zai Shuttle. So, interesting combination there. Next, we have Chris Ruzio, who flew Commander Malaris with Agent Terex, and three Signer James engineers. That's the TIE Silencers with Automated Targeting Priority, or ATP. So out of these lists here that I just mentioned, the highest one, or highest ranked one, placed 72nd overall. And I think there's some lessons that we can learn from all of this. First, Holo, or any First Order ship with proud tradition and pattern analyzer, is a great way to get double modded shot with you get focus lock after doing a red maneuver, which seems like a pretty broken combination. Next, there's different loadouts on these First Order salads. But I think what it really boils down to, because I'm not saying that First Order salads aren't viable, because we're going to see that in a little bit, that they actually are. I think there's a very specific way that you have to fly First Order salads, and I think there's a very specific initiative that you need for that, depending on your loadout. But here's the crazy thing. So that was only 8 lists. So these next 9 lists, or I'm sorry, 10 lists, all rank significantly higher. And as I said before, 9 of them made the top 32 cut, which is really impressive for a faction, especially one like the First Order that has struggled so much in previous events. Now, there's a lot of reasons for that. I want to get to that at the end. But let's look at these next 10 lists. And the lowest ranked one of these next 10 lists was 38 overall. So we're going to start off with Stephen Tuck, who flew a Malaris Swarm. So he flew Commander Malaris with Agent Terex, then 2 Zeta Squadron pilots, which is the I-2 FOs, and 3 Zeta Squadron survivors, which is the I-2 SFs. Next was Jason Miller, who came in 33rd in Squiss and lost his top 32 game. He flew the Malaris Swarm, which is Commander Malaris with Proud Tradition, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Epsilon Squadron cadets in the TIE FO. Cody McKellar flew the exact same list, coming in 31st overall and losing his top 32 game. Next was SXY, flying a faux salad here, came in 29th in Swiss and lost his top 32 game. He flew Quick Draw with Special Forces Gunner, Commander Malaris with Agent Terex, Lieutenant Lahus with Special Forces Gunner, and Backdraft with Marksmanship and Proton Rockets. So we've got 3 SFs, all of the highest initiative ones, most of them rocking that Special Forces Gunner, and just a pretty interesting list, and we know XY is a talented pilot, showing that off. Next was me. Now, I came in 20th in Swiss and lost my top 32 game to the eventual winner, which we will talk about here in a little bit. I flew, now this list you heard me talk about in the last episode, which is a list that I came up with and I enjoyed flying beforehand. I spent a lot of time practicing with it. Anyway, so I flew Blackout with Fanatical and Sensitive Controls, a Proud Tradition Holo, Lieutenant Lahus with Fanatical and Special Forces Gunner, and Lieutenant Rivas. Now, normally I'd go take a deeper dive into what I flew, but I want to save that for in a little bit. So, with that said, let's move on to the next faux player, which was Daniel Wojcik, who came in 17th in Swiss and also lost his top 32 game. He flew Lieutenant Tavson with Biohexacrypt Codes, Captain Phasma with Fanatical Pattern Analyzer Special Forces Gunner, and a Kylo Ren with Sense. Now, what I'd like to point out here is, having flown Tavsin and Phasma together, it's a great puzzle. Because you shoot at Tavsin, he gets the extra actions. You shoot at Phasma, she passes her damage off the Tavsin, so he can take the extra actions. It's like a no-win scenario. And I really enjoy that type of puzzle to give your opponent. So kudos to Daniel for bringing that list to the match. So next, coming in 15th in Swiss, but also losing his top 32 game, was Rob Sievert, who flew Major Von Rigg with Daredevil and Prockets, Kylo Ren with Extreme Maneuvers and Advanced Proton Torpedoes, and Lieutenant LaHuse with Special Forces Gunner. Kind of a different variation on the Faux Aces. I'm going to kind of go into a little bit more of this stuff in the future. Now, the next one I'm going to skip for obvious reasons, but we'll come back to it. And if you don't know, just hang on. I'll be there in a second. So next was Brack Lee, who came in 11th in Swiss, but also lost his top 32 game. He flew Gideon Hask with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Zeta Squadron survivors. So this is kind of that five-finger death punch, but throwing Gideon Hask in there as well. So you got that 180 arc, and then with Gideon Hask, you kind of turn those SFs into mini fire sprays. All right, next is Nicholas Duran, who came in 2nd in Swiss and lost in the top 16. He brought, and this is a pretty interesting faux salad, I like it, Hollow with Proud Tradition, Tina, or TN-3465, with automated targeting priority, and 3 Zeta Squadron survivors, 1 with automated targeting priority, and 2 with Special Forces Gunner. I really like this list, especially for those that don't know, Tien or Tina, what you do is you send her out first, and then you have your SF shoot at the target, and you basically kill off Tina, but you guarantee all those crits, which is just a fantastic combination. And Nicholas Duran, we know, is a top pilot who did well. So now let's get back to the list that I skipped. It was flown by Andrew Durham, who came in 13th in Swiss and won the whole dang thing. Now, he expertly flew a two-ship Faux Ace list with Major Von Rigg with Lone Wolf and Afterburners, and a Supernatural Kylo Ren with Prime Thrusters and Proton Torpedoes. So what does all this tell us about the First Order? Well, the first thing, and I think this is the most important part, is even without the new pack, they can be a competitive faction. And I think that's important to point out, because First Order typically has not done well in past events. Now, there's a lot of people that said that they weren't taking this particular qualifier that seriously, and that allowed the First Order to kind of to shine or to come up. But I'm not sure that's the case, because if you look over the list, there were a lot of top pilots flying some very competitive lists. Now, what we didn't see is we didn't see a lot of Bosk. We didn't see a lot of Zam Go lists. So there could be some merit to that, but I don't think that's really the case. The next thing is the Zai shuttle, supported by either FOs or SFs, is good. Like, really good. And this is just a personal bias of mine, but I've always thought that Gideon with 5 SFs was better than Malorus with 6 foes. And this result kind of it anecdotally shows that. I don't know if that's the case. That's just me personally. I feel that because you get more arcs. You kind of, SFs don't always want to take the strain token, but sometimes they do. So it's dependent. But we see that result here in this match. Now, outside of the ships that we know that are good in Faux, which, is Kylo Von Rake Holo Tavson. Don't sleep on a Tien swarm, a Tina swarm. Or Lieutenant Lahius, who turns out that an I-5 at 37 points is pretty dang good. Now, the other thing that I'll point out, and again, I'm going to be kind of biased on this, I think if you're going to fly Lieutenant Lahius, you want him flanked by either Lieutenant Revis, who's going to give him that extra target lock that he could possibly use, or Holo, I think, is better to pair with than Von Rake. Now, this is personally, I'd like to see some people try some of these other lists, like going up Rob Sievert's list, swapping out Daredevil Von Rake with Prockets to a Proud Tradition Holo with Prockets. I think could make that list far more scary. But, and then the last thing that I think this tells us is if you are going to fly faux aces, whether that's double aces or double silencers with a BA or triple silencers, there's a very specific way that you need to fly them. And you have to know when to engage, when to string your opponent along, and when to disengage. And I think if you watch the stream games with Andrew, you'll see that he had that down. And it was impressive to watch. It was impressive to fly against. And don't get me wrong, it was frustrating as all get out, because it seemed like I didn't get that many shots at Kylo, and every time I did, he rolled two evades and a focus, which was just super frustrating. But I think that's what we can learn from the First Order in this. Now, normally, I wouldn't do this at the same time, so I would break down the list, and I'd like to keep the episode shorter, but this episode's going to be a little bit longer, and the reason for that is one of my patrons, Jason C., sent me a message, and so let me read what he said, and then we're going to go into what I did in the tournament, how I did, what I came up with, and all that other fun stuff. So Jason's message was, I see that you did quite well in the GSP Jedha tournament. I think it would be interesting to hear about your experience in the tournament. I recall that in a prior podcast episode, you talked about having anxiety before tournaments. Did you experience that same anxiety and nervousness? If not, did you do anything differently this tournament which helped? And more generally, what list did you fly? How did you decide on that list? And were there any moments in your matches which were memorable or noteworthy? If so, why? So, Jason, thank you very much for your message, and let's kind of go into that. So we already talked about my list and what I flew. I talked in the last episode about how I came up with a list that was just fun for me to fly. And let me break down the synergies of that list a little bit more, so you can kind of see why I enjoyed flying it. And then I'll talk about what I did in, or how I did in the tournament, and kind of bat wrap that down. So, first off, we've got a Fanatical Blackout with Sensitive Controls. Now, the reason that I like that is that system phase boost or barrel roll, even though it's red, was phenomenal and really helped in chasing down Supernatural Kylo. But on top of that, it allowed me to position Blackout in ways that people just weren't expecting. It allowed me to get his pilot talent off a little bit more, which I think is also something people weren't expecting. And it allowed me just to be a little bit more flexible with him, and it kept him from being stressed, which is important. It really opens up the silencer dial. If you haven't flown a sensitive control silencer, please try it. Like, I really think people are sleeping on that card. So the next ship in the list is Hollow with Proud Tradition. We know that piece is good, but I think the other two pilots really help set that up. So we've got Lieutenant LaHuse with Fanatical and Special Forces Gunner. And for those that don't know what Lieutenant LaHuse does, Lieutenant LaHuse is you may treat other ships' pilot locks or target locks as your own. That's his pilot ability. And then we've got Lieutenant Revis, which is, and I'm paraphrasing these, I'm not reading them exact, so please I encourage you to look it up if you're really interested and want the exact wording. But Lieutenant Revis is when a enemy ship range 1 to 2, so it doesn't work at range 0, which is important, receives a red or orange token, you may acquire a lock on that ship. So here's how all of that works. So you've got Blackout that kind of acts as the hammer in the list. And you've heard me talk about hammer and veil style lists in the game, and it's what I really enjoy flying. So what you do is you put Blackout on the flank. And if they turn into him, Blackout just runs away. And then they have to deal with the rest of the list. But what I did was I would send Revis up there to kind of act as a blocker. And then I would send LaHuse up, and LaHuse, he just always focuses or evades if his shields are down, because he's got that fanatical support if his shields are down. And then I send Hollow up, and I target lock the ship that I want to target or destroy first. And then Revis picks up that lock right away. And what that allows me to do is it allows me to focus fire. Because if I've done this right, Blackout's either shooting at the same ship, if they decided to joust my main swarm, or he's shooting at another ship to put some damage in on that. Then Hollow target locks, which gives a target lock to Lieutenant Revis. So Blackout, Hollow, and LaHuse are all shooting either single-modded in Blackout's case, usually in first engagement, or double-modded in Hollow and LaHuse's case, because LaHuse is going to use Revis's target lock. And Revis is usually moving first, so he's got that focus token anyway. So if whatever I'm shooting at is still around by time Revis shoots around, if they decided not to shoot at Revis, which is also who I'm dumping my negative token that I pick up with Hollow on, I'm getting, at I-5, I'm getting three almost double-modded attacks. And if it gets towards a later round and they pulled shields off of Blackout, then I'm getting three double-modded attacks on a single target at I-5. And then Revis is cleanup. And it feels bad to target Revis, because that's only 27 points. And then you still have to deal with the three I-5s, which I've seen a lot of opponents do. It feels bad to target LaHuse, because even how he's fully loaded out is only 47 points. And then you really have to work to target Blackout and Hollow, because I've got Blackout on the flank and Hollow at the back of the formation. So it feels bad to shoot at Hollow, because he's all the way at the back, usually going to be rolling the most defensive dice, backed up by a focus token usually. Or if you went after Blackout and you're shooting him, Blackout's usually running, and you're dealing with Hollow and LaHuse and Revis coming up your rear. And so that's how the synergy of the list works. And as I said, I really enjoy flying it. It's a good puzzle for my opponents to try to break down, and it's a hard hitter kind of. I don't really want to call it an alpha strike list, but it certainly can be, as I have removed ships on that first engagement before they were able to shoot back. So let's talk about who I faced, what I faced, and how I did overall in the tournament. So my first match was a 200 to 140 point win. and I face Bill Bowers, who is flying Dengar with Forlom, Contraband Cybernetics, Cutthroat, Han Solo Gunner, Ion Cannon, and Plasma Torpedoes, Finn Rao with Fearless, and Genesis Red with Cutthroat and Proton Torpedoes. Now, this game, I don't really remember too much. I want to say that Dengar was the second ship that I killed. I managed to pin Finn Rao down and take him out early, and then I was able to get behind Dengar so that return shot wasn't as bad. And I think, if I remember correctly, and Bill, if you ever listen to this podcast, it was a pleasure to play you. And if I've got this wrong, please just shoot me a message and let me know, and I'll correct it on my next episode. But I think I was able to get Blackout behind the list and just wreak havoc. And then Genesis Red really doesn't like the three F5s, because the only one he could target lock with his proton torpedoes is Revis and get the mod, and then you're shooting four dice at a 27-point ship. That just feels bad. So I was able to pull the win out. He did score 140 points on me. I don't remember exactly how he, which ships he got, but it was a very good game, close match. I did not think that I was going to win that. All right, next match, I faced Fawn Longlong. And we know how talented Fawn is. I saw this match, and I immediately thought that I was going to lose. Like, I had already chalked this up to a loss. I was ready to fly what I could fly. go on to the next match. So Fawn was flying Darth Vader with afterburners and fire control system, Major Vendor with advanced proton torpedoes, advanced slam, fire control system, the OS-1 arsenal loadout, and proton torpedoes, and Colonel Jenden with Emperor Palpatine. Now, again, I set up in my normal, I have a rehearsed opening that I do for this list. So I set up in that. And I came in initially at Major Vendor. And what I was able to do, and the reason that I won this game, and it was a little bit of a blowout, 200 to 34. But the only reason I was able to do that is I set up a trap for the Dark Lord of the Sith, and Fawn flew into it. Now, the dice were bad for Fawn, I'm not going to lie, but that I switched targets in the middle of the match to Darth Vader. Fawn was not expecting me to do that, and I was able to take him out, and then it was pretty easy pickings once Darth Vader was off the board. Fawn is an amazing opponent. He flew very well. I was surprised to win. So now we're going in again. Now, normally I'm a 2-4 player in these Gold Squadron tournaments. So I've got my two wins. I'm kind of expecting not to, as I go up to start pulling in some losses. So we get to my next match. I'm flying against Thomas Johansson. I managed to pull out another win. This one was 290, and I was scared of this list. Wasn't sure that I was going to be able to pull off a win here, and my opponent was pretty sure that he was going to win as well. He was flying 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Black Sun Soldier Z95s, all of them with Cutthroat and false transponder codes, and five of them with ion missiles. Gosh, coming against the swarm like this, I was scared. The FTC and ion missile combination is super gross. I was expecting to get all kinds of ionized, but I was able to pick off ships one at a time, and kind of utilize the FTC to my advantage a little bit. So during the second engagement, so the first engagement, I was able to strip off an STC with Blackout, and that was the only shot. The second engagement, he went through and he put all kinds of jam tokens on Lahuse, on Revis, on Hollow, and even on Blackout. And he went through all of his FTCs but one. And that was because I managed to get a pretty good block. I blocked two of his ships with Lieutenant Revis. And what I was able to do is I was able to, when... sorry, brain fart there. When Lahuse came up, even though he had jam tokens, I still had an action. So I target locked the one ship that had FTC left and caused that jam to go off. So I was able to do that, pick out some of his ships. He recharged those FTCs or removed red tokens every time one of his ships died. And it was a close match, but again, able to pull off that win. So now I'm 3-0 in the tournament and incredibly nervous. Very happy, though, that all I wanted to do when I came into this tournament was go 3-3. So I'm happy. Now I could lose all the rest of the games and I'd be okay. So then pairings come up and I'm flying against Sasha Wagner. And again, you'll notice another big name player that I'm playing against. Figured, oh great, this is not going to go well. Then I look at Sasha's list, and he's flying Bossk with Cutthroat, False Transponder Codes, Gamut Key, Greedo, Zam Wessel, Joy Rekoff with Cutthroat and Ion Torpedoes, Genesis Red with Cutthroat and Proton Torpedoes, and Lando Calrissian in the escape craft. This was a hard-fought game. I lost barely 173 to 200. I was able to take out all but half of Genesis Red, I think was the last one, or was it? No, it was Joy. Sorry, all but half of Joy, and I think I had Joy down to... one hit point left. He had Hollow down to one hit point, and I can't remember what happened, but he was able to kill off Hollow in the last little bit, and it was just a close game. Sasha is an incredibly talented X-Wing player, as we know. And it was just a pleasure to fly against. Very challenging match for me. Managed to get that loss. So, now, 4-1. Again, just ecstatic. Going into round 5, I fly Jacob Blecha, who is flying Bodhi Rourke with Harrison Dula and Pivot Wing. Colby Sperato with R4 Astromech and S-Foils, Shara Bay with Prockets, Jake Farrell, and Lieutenant Blout. Now, this is a challenging list, so don't let the score of 200 to 24 deceive you. I think Jacob made a turn zero mistake, which cost him the game, even though the dice were bad for him. And what I mean by that is when he set up Bodhi, Jake, and Lieutenant Blount on one side of the board, and he set up Colby and Shara on the other side of the board. And I set up to joust Colby and Shara, and was able to essentially take off a ship a turn. And there wasn't anything that he could do about it. I had three I-5s going into Colby at the start. Was able to take her off before she even shot and scare Shara a little bit. The next turn, I was able to come in, take out Lieutenant Blount. Then I took out Jake. Then I took out Shara. And then I took out Bodhi. Or maybe Bodhi, then Shara. But I was able to get that damage in. And again, I think this was a turn zero mistake by Jacob. I think if he had set it up in a five block, I would have approached the list differently. And he would have done considerably more damage to my ships. All right. Then we got into round six. I'm 4-1. A win guarantees my spot in the top 32. But because of my 234 and my 224 games, I was kind of confident that a loss would put me in the top 32 as well. But I wasn't sure. I knew I needed to get I needed to get points to really guarantee that. So now I'm flying Sebastian Dammers, another top X-Wing player. And he was flying Ketsu with Fearless, Shadowcaster Tyrell, and Zam Wessel, Genesis Red with advanced Proton Torpedoes and Cutthroat, Constable Zuvio with Proxy Mines, Sunny Bounder, and a Cartel Spacer. I lost this game 160 to 184. It was an incredibly close match. Sebastian is an incredibly talented pilot, and there was a lot of back and forth in this game. He was able to... We came to time, and obviously I wasn't able to get all the points that I needed to win that game. But this put me top 20 in Swiss, guaranteed my spot in the top 32, and I was ecstatic. I was happy to have gone from such a terrible record in the past to the top cut. And in the top cut, I flew against Andrew Durham, the overall winner, and was able to take out Von Reg. I did, I think, one or two damage to Kylo Ren, not enough to have him. But he was able to take out Blackout. He took out Blackout later, but he took out Blackout and Hollow. We traded Hollow for Von Reg, and then he was chased by LaHuse, Revis, and Blackout for a while. And due to a first engagement mistake on my own part, I ran a couple of ships into a rock. Mainly, I ran Blackout into a rock in that first engagement, which really set me behind. And on top of that, gave Blackout the stun pilot crit, which normally I was kind of... And I brought three rocks. So there were six rocks on the table. And I've got Blackout... Or no, not six rocks. Flying against Andrew, he brought gas clouds. So... normally, I'd be pretty aggressive with Blackout, kind of park him right near the edge of those rocks. But with that stun pilot, you can't risk the extra damage. So I had to, it really changed the way that I flew Blackout. So, that's how it went overall. Really had a good time. But going back to some of Jason's questions that I didn't ask, did I experience the same anxiety and nervousness? And the answer to that question is no, I did not. And I think a lot of the reason behind that was that I had been practicing with this list for almost a month. 3 weeks of flying, basically nothing other than this list. So I got a lot of reps in, and that really helped with the nervousness. And I think that kind of goes into what I did differently this tournament versus last tournament is I knew I wanted to play. Now, here's the other part that I didn't tell you in all of this. I, as you know, have been traveling. I came back from the Philippines on Thursday and signed up for the tournament on Friday, to fly. So I wasn't sure if I was going to be in a physical and mental state enough, if I was going to have recovered from my jet lag enough to fly in this list with or this tournament. And I wanted to talk to my wife about it and make sure that she was okay with me doing this as well. So I wasn't even sure if I was going to fly in this match, which kind of played into the overall lack of nervousness in there, because I had made the decision to pick a list out, stick with the list, and practice with the list, which really kind of helped a lot with the nerves. I went into the last episode on why I decided on this list. I talked a little bit more about it this time. So, Jason, I hope I answered all of your questions. If I did, just shoot me another message and I'll be happy to address them in the next episode. All right. Now, I think I mentioned it at the beginning. If I didn't, it is time to pick the winner for the monthly Patreon giveaway. So, with that said, this week I'm giving away a Fang Fighter 2nd edition pack. I'm going to send it out to the winner, and this is all at cost to me. So again, as a thank you to the patrons, and I am in contact with Crowpaw Creatives and should have those tokens out. We'll be creating that third tier. So if you're interested in getting one of these tokens, I'm going to post what it's going to look like in the Patreon page. So keep an eye out for that. All right. Have I stalled long enough? Have I made you wait long enough? All right, the winner of this month's small ship giveaway of a Fang Fighter is... Gary J! Congratulations, Gary. Be sure to reach out to me and give me your address so I can send you your ship. For everyone else, as I said, this is a patron-only giveaway, so... if you become a patron at the bottom tier, you will receive one entry into the giveaway. If you become a patron at the middle tier, you will receive two entries. And if you become a patron at the top tier, you will receive three entries. And I may create some more tiers down the line. To my current patrons, thank you very much for supporting this podcast. It really means a lot to me. And finally, if you would like to support this podcast, not financially, please consider leaving a review on however you consume it, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, however you consume the podcast, please consider leaving a review, as it really means a lot to me. And if you really like the podcast and want to support it financially, please consider becoming a patron. You can find me at patreon.com/saltminesxwing. If you'd like to reach out and chat, you can tweet me at saltxwing or at sailorjoev, or shoot me an email at saltminesxwing@gmail.com. I can also be reached on most of the other servers' Discord channels at sailorjoev. As you know, I like to end every podcast with a question. So this week's question is, what did you pick out from the First Order list, and what stood out to you? And would you consider flying the First Order in future events? Thank you very much for listening. This is Sailor Joe, signing off.
You're not alone.